to encounter. I tell you what, if you don't think God's alive and well, and God's not up to a good work in this little old town of Lufkin and Angelina County, Nacogdoches County, we just launched our Nacogdoches campus today. It was slam-packed, both services, and look at this class in here. What this tells me is that there's people still hungry for God. If you're hungry for God, you come to the right place. Because I'm telling you, this, the staff and the church and our pastors have created, through the vision and the guidance of the hand of the Holy Spirit and God, a class that's called Encounter, and we're going to discuss that tonight. But more than anything, this is a well of living water that y'all can all pull up to and drink all you want. And if you go through this thing and you embrace the process and you embrace the vision and you listen to the whispers of God, when you leave this today, you can be in a position to never thirst again. That's power. And that power comes from one, Jesus Christ, and that's why we're here today. Amen. Oh, yeah. My name is Justin Lindsay. This is my beautiful bride, Whitney. Ain't she lucky? You bet. She did good for herself. You don't think God blesses people. You look at this right here, buddy. This is a blessing for her. That's right. Tell them, guys. Pure blessing right there. Hey, we are excited to have y'all. We are excited to hear that you are here. If you've never heard this before, I think there may be somebody in here. Listen, we love you. We love you. I don't care if it's the first time I've ever seen you. If y'all seen me walking down this place, we love you. You want to know why? Because we're all here by one. He deemed you enough to breathe life into you. If you're enough for Jesus, you're enough for us. We love y'all, okay? And I'm going to give the microphone to my wife, because if not, we'll just have a revival right now.
He is very excited. Hey, guys, we are so excited that you're here tonight. We have been waiting for today. Like Justin said, we're the coaches of Encounter. We have been a part of Encounter since it started, when Taya prayed and put this team together in the little annex building behind the church, and it kind of got inspired and kicked off, and it has forever changed our lives. If you are in one of our blue shirts and you are part of the Encounter team, will you stand up for just a minute? These people at the table in the back of the room that checked you in, they are truly the hands and feet of Jesus. They have been fasting for you through the kickoff of football and through, I have to say, Ben fasted football, and there was so much college football yesterday, he really loves y'all. So thank you so much. This team, they love you. They are here for you. It's kind of like we are a tour guide for this. So if you need something, come see somebody in the blue shirt. The tables that you are at, it's kind of like back to middle school, while the girls are on one side and the boys are on the other. And the reason is this isn't about a relationship or your spouse or you as a parent. This is about you as a child of God. And we want you to have that experience without leaning over wondering, is your husband taking notes, or vice versa. And it's amazing to see the conversations that will come from this. The tables that you are at are your tables for the next 8 weeks. So you will come in. This is your new family. I promise you're going to be so close by the end of this journey together. We are just so excited that you are here. Thank y'all so much. So at this time, we're going to play a little game, because it is kind of like the first day of school. On your table is a dice. We're going to play a game called Roll to Know. Everybody will roll once, and you just have to answer one question about yourself. Okay, guys? All right. Roll.
I hate to cut off all the fun. I tell you what, there's nothing better than seeing God's people learn about each other. I tell you what, that's pretty neat. Some of y'all have never met the person to the left or to the right of you. See what amazing happens when we open ourselves up and ask a question? It's pretty neat, pretty special. So I was looking at these, And I seen the one that says, if you were stranded on a desert island, what three things would you want to take with you? I can tell you, the first thing I do is take my shoes because I ain't going nowhere barefooted. Nowhere. So I'm taking my shoes and I'm taking socks. Huh? Yeah, as long as I got a pair, I'll be good. I can wash them in the ocean, dry them out or something. And the third one I'm doing is I'm taking a boat to get off that joker because I ain't trying to stay there now. Only island I want needs to have air conditioner, a resort, a pool, and an airplane to get off of it. All right, guys, let's. We want to be mindful of everybody's time, so let's get rolling. I'm gonna open us up in prayer, but first of all, I want to introduce this. Y'all know her, and this woman is loved dearly by many. And I can tell you, if you knew the impact she's had on my life, she took me under her wings about 3 years ago when I was an absolute wreck of a mess. And she has poured into my life over and over and over. And I call her sister now. And it's Pastor Talia, and she's going to be teaching that. I'm going to open it up in prayer. But you look at this woman right here, and one of the main reasons, other than outside of God, that you're in here tonight, it's because of a vision that Pastor Jeremy saw that he put on her, and this is what I remember. I don't know, it seems like 10 years ago, but I think it was like 3 years ago we started it or something. We all met over in the NX building, and I looked across the table, and I was like, who are these people? She has drug into this room to do this thing, and I can tell you what, God has done some amazing life, eternal changing things through this class, and she's one of the, hey, she's a big reason for it. Okay, and I'm going to open up in prayer, and you're going to get a privilege and the opportunity for her to teach first. Gracious Father, we just come to you. Thank you. Apart from all of our wrongs, apart from all of our mistakes and us not measuring up and being insufficient, not being enough, God, there's a gap. You fill that gap every day. And God, I look across this room. There's some gaps that need to be filled with your presence, and I thank you for that presence being here today. God, I want to pray an anointing over the teacher that's about to come up here. God, I pray, Father, that you do what only you can do in each individual person's heart as they receive your word, God, and speak to them uniquely like only you can do. Father, I pray that you stretch us, that you bend us, you break us, you mold us to be more like you. Thank you for the opportunity, God, to come to the foot of the cross and give you praise and worship, but most of all, God, the opportunity to encounter you. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, and all that you and all that you're going to do, Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, amen. Amen.
Now let's see if I can put all of this down without dropping something. You know, I get a hand clap for that. You guys, do you know how much I love this ministry? Do you have any idea what joy it brings my heart tonight? You know, in my marriage and even in my leadership, I tend to be a bit more like a man than a woman. I'm not very emotional. I don't sit and cry a lot. I'm just not wired that way. Sometimes I wonder if there's something wrong with me. But when I look out here tonight, the evening after we just birthed our first baby as a campus, Nacogdoches, and I got to be there and shake hands with so many people that I've never seen before. And we got to see vision that God spoke 30 years ago come to fruition today. And then to come from that moment straight into here, almost literally, and to see all of your faces here. The reason I think I get emotional is because of what this ministry means to me. But not only to me, it's because of the absolute tremendous impact that it has had and it continues to have in every single person who goes through it. And you may be wondering, well, why? Why this ministry? Why not that? All of the ministries of Timber Creek are super strategic. They're there for a reason. You've got groups for community and some discipleship. We've got Starting Point to help you get connected for the very first time as a Christian or new to our church. We've got groups. We've got Grow Track. We've got incredible growth tracks. How many of you in Grow Tracks? Grow Tracks are so incredible. They're there to help you grow in your walk with Christ. But you know, there's just something about Encounter that is unique. Not better. It's just unique, right, Dan? And the reason we call it Encounter is because of what happens, and not just in this room, but what happens in your heart at home, what happens in your mind at work, what begins to happen in the car in your marriage. Things just begin to transform when you encounter the presence of the one true God. See, of all the other religions in this world, and there are many, Christianity is the only religion that says that their God is still alive. That we're not preaching or ministering from a place of or worshiping a statue. We're not worshiping philosophy or intelligence or wisdom. We're worshiping Jesus, the Son of the living God, who came as God incarnate into this world, who walked as we walk, who breathed the air we breathe, who sacrificed and died a sinner's death, but was resurrected in the power of God's Spirit and is now sitting at the right hand of the Father in heaven. And he said it's better that he go away so the Holy Spirit could come. So what you sense in the room tonight is not just excitement. What some of you may not understand, the reason you're suddenly intrigued, the reason your heart may be beating a little harder, is not fear. It is not excitement. It is the presence of the one true God who is alive, and he's with us today. And I'm so thankful for that. Can we just, in our own way, whatever, however it's comfortable for you, we don't give you any kind of stipulations here, but right there where you are, can you just bow your heads for just a moment? Can you do this with me? I'm not going to freak you out. We don't do things weird at Timber Creek. We do things biblically. And what I just want you to do is I want you to picture right now in your mind the condition of your heart. And I want you to picture right now, and maybe some of you, the condition of your heart is like, it's literally like a dinner plate from Golden Corral that's overflowing. There's so much going on. There's so much you've packed into your life that even coming tonight was a big sacrifice because you don't know how you're going to complete this successfully because you have so much going on. Maybe some of you, the condition of your heart right now looks more like a dark, hard rock. And the reason it looks like that in your own mind right now is because life has jaded you and you have, instead of softening, grown kind of hard towards the Lord, towards religion. Maybe some of you, your heart looks like a heart with Band-Aids all over it, kind of like, you know, a hot mess. And it's because life has been woundful for you. However your heart looks tonight, I just want you, In your own way, right there where you're sitting, can you just, in your own way and in your heart and in your mind right now, just ask Jesus to see the condition of your heart for what it is? Can we just right now, we're going to make a decision as a group, but we're not going to hide that from him. We're just, see, he knows the condition of our hearts already. And what we want Jesus to do is we want to make room for him in our hearts tonight. So, Father, in Jesus' name, the name that is above every other name, Lord, we ask you, Jesus, to do a work in our hearts tonight. Can you do that in your own way? Just ask him. Just ask him in your own way. You don't have to say a word. You can say it in your mind. That's okay. He hears you. Just surrender right now tonight and ask him to do his work. Father, I give you my heart. Lord, and I symbolically pray over all of the hearts in this room. Lord, I pray for those of us, Lord, that are busy, that we would intentionally carve out and make room for you right now to speak to us. Lord, for those who have wounded hearts that are a little leery about coming to something like encounter, Lord, I pray that we would take the protective gear off and not be afraid to get close to you because of those wounds. God, I just pray right now over the suspicious heart that's very suspicious of whether or not this is real. And I thank you, Jesus, that you can meet that man or that woman right now where they are. And you can calm those suspicions. You can prove for yourself that you are who you say you are. We just welcome you here, Lord. We love you. Do what only you can do, and it's in the name of Jesus I pray. And everyone together said, amen, amen. Well, tonight, I have the privilege and honor of kicking off Encounter. And, you know, yes, we started with a group of around 22 people. And from that, we've now seen hundreds of Timber Creek people come through Encounter. And what I want to say before I get into the notes tonight is the word process. Everyone say the word process. This is a word you're going to hear almost every night in Encounter. Because if you came here tonight thinking that Encounter is about this revival service where we lay hands on people and there's like crazy stuff going, that's actually not what Encounter is about at all. Maybe you had an idea of an encounter and you thought, well, maybe Encounter is like this demon hunting ministry where we're going to go demon slaying. Well, no, that's not Encounter either. That's not necessarily, we're not after chasing demons here. We'll deal with stuff if it arises, but that's not like what we're after. Believe it or not, that's not what Jesus was after either. But he dealt with it when it showed up, didn't he? The reason we call this group Encounter is because of this process that you're now beginning. Listen to me. Everyone look at me real quick. This journey is a process. Every single night is a strategic, vital part of the process. So, not to put pressure on you, but missing even one night is challenging because you're going to miss a very important layer of the process. So I would ask you guys tonight to make a commitment. It's only 8 weeks. It's not 12 weeks like Grow Track. It's only 8 weeks. And we're asking you guys to make this journey your top priority for 8 weeks. And I'm telling you, because it's a process, there are exciting parts of the process. There are meaningful moments of the process. And there are challenging parts to the process. But what I can assure you, and I'm a woman of my word, if you stick with the process, you'll never be the same. And you may say, well, Pastor Talia, that already bothers me because I like myself just the way I am. I want to be as he is, and I know I'm not there yet. An encounter for me, even as a pastor, guess what? Just because you have Reverend before your name doesn't mean you're free of problems. And every time I go through Encounter, I'm changed. Every time I go through Encounter, I see a new part of who God is that I didn't know existed. And that in and of itself changes me. In fact, if you have your notes tonight, let's go ahead and get started here about this process. Let's look at a very interesting scripture tonight. It's in Job chapter 42, verse 5. I'm using technology tonight for my notes. Everyone start praying now, because anyone who knows Pastor Talia knows I'm not good with technology. But I'm going to try this out. The pastors on our staff will be super proud of me if I get this right, Pastor Cody especially. All right. So Job 42, verse 5, this is a super neat scripture. What is Job in the book of Job famous for in the Bible? What did this guy go through? Was he a good guy or a bad guy? Oh, someone said he's a great guy. Was he righteous or unrighteous? He's a righteous man. Hold the phone. Righteous guy, serving God, life of struggle. Almost seems like an oxymoron, doesn't it? One of my favorite things about God is that he put this book in the Bible, this story, this true story about a righteous man who was so righteous, so right before God that everything in his life is blessed. He has a great, huge family. He's very wealthy. He's got like tons of livestock. He's got a reputation that is impeccable. He's known as being holy. He's known for his righteousness. And maybe some of you in here, that's kind of how you've lived your life. Well, kudos to you. That was not me. Okay? But he goes through his entire life knowing about God, serving God, trusting God, and all of these bad things begin to happen to him, don't they? He loses everything. To make a long story short, Job loses everything good, except one thing, his faith in God. And I want us to look at this scripture. It's in your notes. It's Job 42:5. He goes through this life-transforming process where every bit of his security was stripped away. Everything he was proud of was gone. Everything he would have tended to maybe put his trust in was taken from him. And it says this here in verse 5. After the Lord shows up and starts talking to Job about the why behind what he went through, here's what he says. Job has an encounter with God where God addresses Job and his issues and his struggle. And listen to what Job says. Listen. He says, God, I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. I've heard of you. I've heard about you with my ears. I heard about you from what I read and what I heard in the temple. I've heard about you through my grandpa who taught me about Jehovah God. I've heard of you, and I even liked what I heard, and I lined up my life with what I understood to be true about you. And I've lived a righteous life. I did what I knew to be good based on when I heard about God. Anyone relate to that? That Christian that, man, they're doing everything they can to live right because of what they've heard. But watch what he says next, and this blows my mind. Job says, I've heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now, say but now. He said, but now my eyes have seen you. He said, but now my eyes have seen you. See, it's really hard to become like what you cannot see. In fact, it's hard to get to know someone and become like someone you don't know. And so what a lot of Christians, where a lot of Christ followers get stuck is in this place where they've heard about God. They come to church and they listen to the message. They listen to what the pastor's teaching. It makes sense. And I'm trying to align in my life by what I'm hearing, with what I'm hearing. And yet I'm still struggling all the time with the same old stuff, like Job. But Job says something that we all need to get tonight. Because Job said it wasn't until I saw him. Another word you could use is, it wasn't until I encountered him that I truly understood him and could therefore become more like him. So encounter is not so much just about you hearing teachings from God's word. It's an important part. But it's also very much about you having an encounter with God. Seeing him, listen, Timber Creek, seeing Jesus for who he really is changes you. In fact, look at your notes here tonight. Look at your notes. It says right here that an encounter literally means seeing someone face to face. Seeing someone face to face. Now, isn't that amazing? Seeing someone face to face. It's literally like an unexpected moment. Have you ever had that moment where you're walking through the mall, and in Lufkin this happens, or Walmart. How about we use Walmart as an example? You're walking through the Walmart. You're just in and out for a moment. You don't have time to talk. Anyone understand where I'm going with this? And then all of a sudden, you unexpectedly run into someone from the church that you maybe hasn't seen you in a while, or you haven't seen them in a while. And there's this face-to-face moment. It's unexpected. It might not be convenient, and now you got to talk for a while. Anybody understand that? Okay. But an encounter with God is very similar. An encounter with God is sometimes very unexpected. But an encounter with the living God is this moment where it feels as though you're close enough to him, you see him face to face. You see him face to face in your heart. I remember my first encounter. I can remember my first encounter with God. I was taught to believe in God, but I didn't know God. Anyone relate to that? I did it because I was told, but I didn't really believe it myself. And I still remember I was invited to church camp here at the church. And the only reason why I went was because my boyfriend wanted to go. But this is how messed up I was. I went with my boyfriend to find other guys. That's how holy Pastor Talia was. True story. So from my heart to my appearance to how I dressed to how I talked to the language I used to the way I behaved was ungodly. I didn't know any better. And I remember the first night of camp. I went with a girl named Candace. And because she wanted to come up to the front to get prayed for. And I thought, I got to go with her because she's really bad. She's really bad. I'm not as bad as she is. So I'm probably pretty safe just going up with her. So I go up with Candace and we go up to the front of the altar. And there's this guy with this look on his face. He's one of the pastors of the camp. And I kid you not, that man looked at me, looked at her, and I'm thinking, oh, good, he sees what a mess she is. Surely he's going to go and pray for her. I'm for real. This is not made up. And that man stops praying for her and goes, wait a minute. He's looking at me. This is me. And he said, what are you doing up here with her? He said, you need to be up here yourself. He said, you have blank, 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 I'm not telling you. But four things he said about me and my life of sin I was in. And he says, you need to understand that God is real and he wants to do something in your life too, not just her. I didn't understand what was happening. But all of a sudden, I went from crying with her because she was really bad to I felt something I'd never felt before. And I wasn't all reverend yet. I couldn't explain it. But all I knew is I began to cry. But it was like a good cry. It felt unlike any other cry I'd ever cried before. Still did not come to faith in Jesus Christ that night. I went back to our dorm room. And our counselor began to talk to everybody about their encounter, the camp night. And I explained my story. And as I'm telling the story, I'm still crying. I'm not a crier. And I'm like, why am I crying? And my camp counselor thanked God for Christian leaders who know Jesus and are good at being his conduit that he can flow through. She said, Talia, what I believe happened is you had an experience with the presence of God. I'm like, what in the heck is that? She said, here's what I challenge you to do. Come back to service tomorrow night and be totally open to whatever God has for you next. And I began to be freaked out. I know you thought I was going to say I was excited. No, I wasn't. I was not excited. I was scared to death because I'm out of control here. I don't understand what's happening, but I know it's real. Something was real. No one could preach to me in a way that would make me respond like that. See, the first time in my life, it was like God himself was speaking to me. And I'll never forget it. But what I'll never forget more is the next night. As I sat there in the worship service, not dressed like a Christian, we'll just say. And the preacher stood up and said, I want every lukewarm, complacent Christian to rise to your feet right now and put your trust and faith in Jesus Christ. And if I'm lying, I'm dying. The next thing I know, I'm on my feet. I thought all of you people who do this were absolutely insane, lifting your hands in church. What in the world is that? I was embarrassed when my mom would do it. I was embarrassed. Like, what is she doing? And all I knew is in this moment, it was like this warmth from the top of my head to the, my soles of my feet. And my hands went up. Nobody touched me. Nobody prayed over me. Nobody did anything for me, but Jesus Christ did. And I'm telling you, that night, I said, "I love you, Jesus," for probably about 1,000 times. And I came up after that encounter knowing there's not one of you in here who are smart enough to convince me that he's not real. Because I wasn't looking for him, but he was looking for me. And he knew right where to find me, and he knew how to talk to me in a way that mama couldn't talk. And he said words to me that only meant something between he and I. And I got up, and I was forever changed. But what happened next was even a more interesting encounter. Because I had a youth leader come up to me. Her name was Samantha. And Samantha came up to me, and she pulled me aside, and I've got mascara all over. I've got black. I look like a guy from Kiss. Like, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. And for the first time in my life, I didn't care. I had this encounter with the Lord, and I was just so caught up in that moment with God. I wasn't worried about what I was wearing. And in the literal video of the moment I received the Lord, you see leaders having to take off jackets and sweaters to cover Talia Beaver on the floor because I was not exactly dressed for my encounter, okay? True story. I could show you the video. Samantha came up to me and said, "Talia, I need to talk to you real quick." I'm like, you know, snot drooling, and I can hardly talk because I had just encountered the power and the presence of the God this book is about. And all of a sudden, it wasn't just some book. And all of a sudden, this wasn't weird. And all of a sudden, everything made sense because I encountered him for myself. And she came up to me and she said, "Talia, I felt as though the Lord wanted me to say something to you." And I'm like, "Oh gosh, what does this mean? Like, he talks to people too? What's going on?" If I rewound 8 weeks before camp, I was going to bed one night and I was saying my bedtime prayers like I was told I was supposed to do. And I began to say, "In Jesus' name, I love you. Amen." And I heard, it was almost as if it was audible, this statement that said, "You don't love me. You don't even know me." And in my bed that night as a teenage girl, you know what's crazy is I didn't even realize it was God speaking to me. But all I did was, you know what I said? I said, "You're right. I don't love you. And I don't know you." And I cried myself to sleep that night. Now get this. Samantha came up to me afterwards. Remember Samantha, youth leader? She said, "I felt like God wanted me to say something to you tonight." She said, "I don't know if you heard, but the entire time you were praying and crying out to God, all you could say is, 'I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus, I love you, Jesus.'" And she said, "I was watching you and just in awe of how many times you said it." And she said, "I felt as though the Lord said to me, 'Samantha, tell Talia that's the first time she said she loved me and actually meant it.'" Encounters will change you. Encounters with, see, he wants to reveal himself to us. An encounter with God does two things. And look at your notes. And my technology isn't helping me one bit right now. So I'm going to do this from memory. And all the leaders right now are probably freaking out, but I think I got this. Here we go. An encounter with God, do you want to know what it'll do? It changes our identity. Now, hold on. What do I mean by that? Your identity is who you really are. So listen to me tonight. When I say that an encounter with God changes your identity, what I don't mean is that God's not pleased with what he made in you. Listen. This is important. Someone in here, you need to hear this because it's not in my notes and I felt like I needed to say it and so I wrote it down. So you're going to hear it. When I say that an encounter with God changes your identity, what I mean is he restores you back into your original condition. See, What do I mean by that? Well, we are all born in sin nature, the Bible says, because of the fall. If you don't understand that, you need to go through Grow Track 1. We're teaching on all that right now, okay? So if we are ever teaching on something that seems a little over your head biblically, you need to be in Grow Track on Wednesday nights and Starting Point on Sunday morning to get that good foundation laid so you can grow from here. Sound good? But when I say he changes our identity, what I mean is when we're born with our sin nature and life happens, and it causes all of us to respond. All of us respond to life's disappointments and hardships differently, don't we? Some people become super dependent on other people while other people avoid others at all costs when they're hurt. All of us respond differently. But what happens is we begin to put up these like barriers. As we're hurt, as we're disappointed, there's this backing off that happens, and it looks different for everybody in here. And there are these obstacles that we begin to see happening between us and God. Because now, if God's so great, why did all this bad stuff happen? But see, what happens when we encounter God, listen, God has a way of knocking all of those wrong obstacles out of the way. Those wrong thoughts, those wrong views, those wrong conclusions about people, God, and us. And he has this miraculous way in a moment to restore us to our true condition of who he created you to be. He peels off the yucky dead layers that are literally suffocating who you really are. And I felt as though there was maybe someone in here tonight that there would be pushback in your heart right now saying, well, if an encounter with God changes who I am, I'm out. Because I'm just happy with who I am. And there's such a good, healthy side to that. Because he loves you too. In fact, you're made in God's image. You're not junk. He doesn't make junk. But what happens is we can tend to get way off track with who God made us to be as we live this life, this messed up life. And so coming to have that encounter with God, you know what it did for me? It brought me back in alignment with who I was really created to be. The yucky parts of me that I struggled with, that made me miserable, all of those died that night. I surrendered all of that to the Lord. And instead, it's like he gave me beauty for my ashes. He showed me the wonderful things about who I am instead of the yucky things that I hated. So an encounter with God restores. You want to know the definition of restore. Here's why this is significant tonight. The word restore literally means to bring you back to your original condition. Before mom and dad messed you up, before life went bad with bankruptcy, before things didn't work out with dad and he left when you were little, no matter who it was, whatever your story is, an encounter with God restores you. An encounter with God changes your identity. But number two, an encounter with God shows you who he really is. Oh my goodness, that's my favorite part. You want to know why I kept telling him I love him that night? Do you want to know why? I didn't understand it at the time. But until that moment, I had never seen anything to love about him. Can I be honest? I didn't know him. I remember sitting back here. There used to be pews in here. And I was so bored in church, I would sit here and I'd count these blanks. And I would see each week if I'd get the same number. True story. Right back there. Back by you, Caleb. That's where I sat. I had no interest in God. But when I encountered Jesus that night at camp, I saw him for who he really was. I saw he wasn't an angry God, that he was a God who loved me. Oh my goodness gracious. I didn't ever know what I wanted to do with my life, but after that encounter with God, I began to understand exactly what God created me to do. I'm telling you, an encounter with God changes how you see you and changes how you see him. Changes how you see him. In fact, an encounter with God also, I love this right here, it will show you who you really are and who you really are not. Your present identity. Look at this scripture in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 to 11. It says, Paul's talking to the church in Corinth, and he says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? It sounds like he's about to slam them. It sounds like Paul is about to tell them they're all going to hell in a handbasket. But just wait for it. Wait for it. It says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, church. He's talking to the church. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor rivalers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. Say were. Is that past tense or present? It's past. For those of you who didn't do well in grammar, it is not present. It is past. Past tense. He said, and such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified, made holy, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God when you came to believe. So see, an encounter with God will show you who you really are and who you really are not. And some of you believe in Jesus, but you're still walking in dead man's clothes. You're not walking in the freedom he died to give you. And listen, listen, listen. This is what I love about encounter more than anything. As I believe, and I've been in ministry for 21 years now here, the reason I've seen people leave the church is not because the church wasn't good, didn't have a good service. It's not because groups weren't getting them connected. The number one reason I've seen people leave the church is because they hit a ceiling. They heard that God could deliver. They heard God had power. They heard God sets free. They heard all of these great things, and yet their life did not reflect what they heard. They were still in bondage. They were still wounded. They were still confused. They were still absolutely miserable. They were still tormented in their mind. Their marriage was still a wreck. And they left the church not because the church wasn't good, but there was no power to set them free, like they had heard there was power to set them free. And what I love about Encounter is that Pastor Jeremy's heart is not just to have a big church. His desire is the desire of the heart of God, to have a church that is healthy, a church that is full of Christians who are living in freedom that Jesus died to give you. And you know what I love the most is that you're never too strong of a Christian to go through this process. You aren't too big for your britches. You haven't served in ministry so long that you are above this process. You need this. Every person at the sound of my voice, I've sat here. I've gone through this. Our pastor, our whole staff has gone through Encounter because we need it. See, because even though we're ministers and we're Christians, we still go through hard times and we get out of alignment. And we forget who God really is, and we get discouraged in our faith and want to quit, don't we? But what's going to happen through Encounter, and it's already starting to happen right now, is you're starting to encounter him in lots of different ways already tonight. And you, some of you feel it, and some of you may be pushing against it right now. That's okay. I was just like you. No stones coming from me. But my greatest encouragement as we get ready to go into our exercise tonight is, can I give you the advice my counselor at camp gave me? No one in here is more scared than I was. I wasn't even a believer yet. And I'd say at least most of you in here are believers. And if you're not, that's okay. We want you in here too. He'll show himself to be true to you. Can I ask you the one thing she asked me? Can you just be open? I mean that. Can you just be open to what Jesus Christ has died to give you? See, nothing Jesus died to give you will harm you. And nothing that the loving Father wants to do in you or to change in you will make you unhappy. And so what he wants to do is something good in you. In fact, you're in here because some of you have been praying in your heart, at least, for some big things that haven't happened yet. And I feel because the reason some of those things haven't happened is there's some stuff in you that he's got to get right first. And then as you get things in alignment with him, these things that you keep believing for, you're going to watch God start doing stuff really, really fast. Do you understand me? I see it every time. I see this every time. Can we just pray together? Father, right now we come to you and we're so excited, and yet there's probably about 50 to 75 different words we could use in here tonight, God, for how we feel in response to what you're already doing. God, from the brand new Christian to the unbeliever, maybe, to the staff member, to the pastor. God, all of us are on a different path with you, in a different place with you right now, great God. But Lord, what we want to do tonight is we want to set the tone right now for the rest of these 8 weeks. And if you're in agreement with this, I just ask you in your own way to make this commitment to the Lord. And we're gonna do an exercise and encourage you here in a moment. But God, we pray tonight, all of us right now would get and stay open to what you want to do. And God, there may be moments that we get afraid. There may be moments we shriek back. There may be moments we get really excited and feel like we want to tell everybody what you're doing. And there may be moments where we go, I think I'm done with Encounter. But God, no matter what we feel, I pray no decisions would be made based on how we feel. But we would make a decision based on a commitment we're willing to make to you right now. And Father, if there's anyone in here who doesn't know you as their Lord and Savior, I pray that the challenge would be, Lord, that you would reveal yourself to them in a powerful way. That you would show them that you are who you say you are. God, I pray your blessing on everyone in Jesus' name. God, would you finish what you've started tonight by the end of this journey. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 It is literally past break time. But what I would like to do is, I know Justin can talk fast. I want to give you 5 minutes to do something that's in Appendix A of your notebook. Because this is really important for what Justin's going to come back and teach on after our break. On Appendix A, you're going to see an exercise. It's really short. It's nothing that takes a whole lot of time. But it's a spiritual inventory. And what we want you to do, yes, is you guys find it? When you've got it, say got it. I believe it's on page 39 of your notes. And it says in the left column, write your goals for this semester of Encounter. Is everyone with me? In the left column, what do you want God to do in you? What do you want God to do in your thought life? What do you want God to do in your marriage? And maybe some of you don't want to fill this out right now because it's super personal and you don't want anyone seeing it. Okay, at least put some thought in it, and you better go home and write it down as soon as you get there, please, so that you can have record of what you want God to do. In the right column, write down the obstacles that currently stand in the way or could get in the way as you strive to accomplish these goals. And then we want you to pray over them each week and then take notes when you see God answering these prayers in your life. So we're going to give you just a few minutes. What do you want God to do? Listen, this is important. This is so important. What obstacles do you feel you may have to overcome to see that happen? Maybe one goal is, I want to attend every night of Encounter. What is an obstacle to that? I really like my shows that come on Sunday night. So I'm going to have to overcome the temptation to be lazy and just comfortable and make a commitment to be here. You have 4 minutes. On your mark, get set, write down your goals.
I don't want to hurry.
All right. I'll tell you what, y'all react quick. If I get my kids react that good, we'd be in business. What a powerful teaching. I love hearing Pastor Talia teach. It's just to hear God speak through her. And she said some things in there that were very key to this process. And the word process, like she was talking about, I didn't understand that word for a while. You know, I was like, process? What do you mean process? If you know anything about me, I like to get it and go, all right? But I learned that that the process is where we grow. And we're going to talk about that just a little bit here in a little bit. I want to talk today about keys to modern day encounters with God. There's things that we can do and there's responsibilities that we have in order to not set up these encounters, but to make sure that we're prepared for these encounters or in position or aligned for these encounters, because God's going to do what He is going to do. And the very first thing that we have to do is to be aware. Awareness. We must be aware of the fact that God longs to reveal Himself to us today every bit as much as He did for those in the Bible. God still longs to reveal Himself to us. And I want to sit right there for a second. My daughters have been singing this song in my car, and if you know anything about my daughters, they sing like me, and it's terrible. Pastor Cody has not invited me to try out for the worship team. I'm going to try to work my way in there, but I don't think it's going to work out. But they keep singing this old song, and they have their own words to it because they're like me. They revise everything. And they keep saying, God's not dead, He's surely alive. And it usually says He's living on the inside, roaring like a lion. Well, my kids keep saying He's living on the inside, living on the outside. She's 5, but my 8-year-old falls along with her. And every time we get in the car, my daughters say, hey, play God's Not Dead. Hey, play God's Not Dead. And if I don't, they're going to sing it no matter what song's on. And I was driving down the road this past week and they were singing it. And I began to smile because God said, that's right. He said, I'm not. He said, I'm still alive, well today, just as I was in the beginning. And I think and I know there's someone in here tonight that needs to hear this. God longs to reveal Himself to you. It doesn't matter if you have been seeking and knowing God for 50 years, if this is the first time you've ever dipped your waters into this thing that you've heard about from your friends called Jesus, He desires to reveal Himself to you. And the God that desires to reveal Himself to you, just like my kids sing in the car, He is alive and well. He is living within inside of us. He is living outside of us. He is all around. And before we move forward into a class called Encounter, where we desire to encounter God's presence, you need to understand, whoever it is in here, that God longs, hey, He desires to reveal Himself to you because He loves you. And somebody in here tonight needs to hear that Jesus Christ loves you right where you're at. Right where you are. It doesn't matter what's happened before today. But we have an opportunity from this point forward, through encounters with Christ, through this process, to begin to change what the enemy keeps trying to pin to us, and that's our past. Pastor Taya said in her teaching that it will show you who you are and who you're going to be. We're not no worse no more. We're not who we were this morning. We have an opportunity to move forward in this. And when we do, God longs to reveal Himself to you, and that should excite you. That should get your heart on fire. That should give you some hope. That should give you some peace. That should give you some purpose, that God longs to reveal Himself to you. And the reason He longs to reveal Himself to you is because He's not done with you yet. He has a purpose and a plan. It is not to harm you. He has a purpose and a plan. And in God's word, it says, I started something in you and I going to see it finished. And I know that sitting in here tonight that there are some people that need to know that they have a purpose. And that purpose resides in Jesus Christ. Because you've had too many people in your life telling you that you don't have a purpose. You've had too many people in your life telling that you can't. You have too many people in your life that telling you that you are not worth it, you're not valuable enough, and Jesus Christ says different. He loved you enough to send His Son so that we may all experience this. And the same God that did that, the same God that created it all, longs to reveal Himself to you tonight. Keys to modern day encounters with God. Awareness, and God still longs to reveal Himself to us. Number two, intentionality and focus. We must intentionally make time to spend with Him. There is this common saying that we make time for what's important, and that is so true. We'll carve out time for what's important to us. I do it. I love to fish. Love to fish. I'm going to find time to fish. I love college football. I'm going to find time to watch college football. I love to cook, as you can tell. I'm going to find time to cook. We're going to carve out time for what's important to us. So we have to have an intentionality, and we have to make this time for Jesus. And if we will make the time for Christ, I promise He'll show up. I promise He'll show up. Matthew 6 and 33, it says, seek ye first. God says, make time for me first. I'll take care of everything else. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. We have to have an intentionality and a focus. See, when I watch football, I don't just watch it, I study it. If you just show up to a meeting with God, just to say you showed up to a meeting with God, you may not get to meet God. But if you show up to a meeting of God intentionally and focused on the Father, on the vertical, and ignore the horizontal things in your life, God will show up in a mighty way. That's one of the ways that we encounter God. That's one of the ways is that when we separate ourselves from the things of the world, we separate ourselves from our daily schedule, we separate and make that time to say, Jesus, You're worth it. Whether it be a spot in the house, in the closet, wherever it may be, on your drive to work, wherever it is that you have to find that time to be intentional and focus on God, He'll show up. He does every single time. And He desires to show up tonight. And that intentional time for a lot of y'all may be this very class. It may be tonight that God said, I'm going to set this time aside. Will you? It may be the very first time that you've encountered God. It may be the second or third time you've encountered God today. But if we will show up, God will show up. And I'm thankful that y'all have showed up tonight, and I'm thankful that God has showed up tonight, because I know He's beginning to speak to some of y'all already. Number three, it says surrender. This is one of my favorite ones. It says we must allow the encounters we experience to change us. Surrender. One of the things I talk about a lot is reverse economics. See, when the world tells us to surrender, they're saying that we're giving up. They're saying that you're saying you're defeated. Well, the great thing about a relationship with Christ is God says, if you'll surrender, I'll give you victory. If you'll surrender your will, I'll give you my will. If you'll surrender your ideas and your ways, I'll give you my ideas and my ways. And when we surrender, like Pastor Talia was talking about earlier, this is an act of surrender. On our knees is an act of surrender. Showing up and being intentional and focusing on God is an act of surrender, and in that surrender comes victory. I love the fact that God does everything backwards from what the world says. The world says, if you want it, take it. God says, if you'll give, I'll provide. He says, if you'll surrender, I'll make you victorious. Those areas in your life that you so desire to have freedom from, those areas in your life that you need God to touch, and you have that encounter, God saying, don't hang on to them, surrender them to me, and I'll give you victory over them. That's where our victory comes, because when we do this and this, what it does is it allows God to come into those areas of your life, how he designed it, and say, I'm in control. I am built for this because I created you uniquely. That's what's so amazing about this. That's the reason why I know it's so important for some of y'all to hear that God longs to reveal himself to you, is because everybody in here is different. There's not another Justin in here. There's not another KK. There's not another David. There's not another William. God designed you specifically for a reason and uniquely for a reason. And your surrender is going to be different. Your surrender is going to be unique. JR, yours is going to be different. But God will speak to each and every one of you uniquely, to where it makes sense to you, to where he reveals himself to you uniquely. That's powerful. Because if he talked to y'all like he talked to me, you may not hear him. But if he talked to me like he reveals himself to you, it may not make sense to me. That's why God is so beautifully and wonderfully awesome in this thing, in this what we're doing, is because he knows each and every one of you uniquely, because he knew you before you was ever in the womb. And he says, I will show up and I can do what only I can do uniquely in your life. And that's what's beautiful about this class, is to look across here. Everybody is so different, but we're looking for one thing and one God. And that one God is what, that one encounter with that one God is what uniquely is going to change us through this process. Surrender. Number four, persistence and patience. We must seek him until we see him. Pastor Talia talked about the process. This is a journey. One of the things that I have learned is that you grow more on the journey than you do when you reach the destination. And this is a journey. What you're experiencing, we're fixing to go on an 8-week journey to encounter God at a greater level. And you're going to learn more about yourself and more about God in the journey than you will in the destination. See, I was bad about wanting to get it and get to the destination too quick. And God kept pulling the reins back on me, kept pulling the reins back on me. And I kept trying to get ahead of God, kept trying to get ahead of God. And I finally asked him, I said, God, I know you're putting something in my heart. I know you're putting something in my life. And I see that there's a purpose for us. And I remember when he said, there is. He says, but in the journey is where you're going to find out exactly who I am. You're going to know me more. You're going to get stronger. You're going to have a deeper walk and a deeper relationship with me in the journey of this process. I kept trying to get to the Super Bowl before I played the regular season. We all want to go to the Super Bowl, but we don't all want to go through the 2-a-days, the lifting the weights, the working out, the regular season, the preseason. But the ones that embrace that process, those are the ones you see end up in the Super Bowl. And it takes persistence and it takes patience, and patience is one of the toughest things I've ever in my life obtained. So God, give me $3. $3. And it has taught me patience and it has taught me persistence. But when we persistently pursue God in this journey, he will persistently and consistently show up. Time after time. And it's like we take a step on this journey and he reveals something to us. All right, God, we've dealt with that. And then he says, all right, just a little bit further. one more step, one more step. And before you know it, in this process, you can look back and you can see what God's done in your life. You can see the obstacles God has removed. You can see the ideas that God have changed. You can see where God was in front of you and how God is behind you. And he lights our pathway when we take one step after another. And every time we take a step in the right direction, we get to encounter God. But here's the great thing about it. Is I had still have a tendency to take a step in the wrong direction. But God never leaves me. He never leaves me. So whatever steps you've taken to this point, God's still with you. Whatever steps you have taken in your life, no matter what your scenario looks like, no matter what your situation looks like, God is with you, God loves you, and he longs to reveal himself to you. So don't think that this is for the person that's been seeking God their whole life, because it is, but it's for you also. We must seek him until we see him. We must seek him until we see him. And that may be scary for some of y'all. The idea of seeking him till we see him, and you look and say, but I have all of this. How long is this process going to take? What am I going to have to go through? What am I going to have to endure to get to this place that he's talking about? And that is going to be different for everybody in the room. But that's the reason why God takes every single step with us. That's the reason why God goes ahead of us. Not only does he walk ahead of us and prepare a pathway, but he also walks with us in that. Your journey, Andrew, is going to be different than my journey. Okay? Steve, your journey is going to be different than Keith's journey. But you have to stay the course. And we have to persist, be patient, and we must seek him until we see him, because we grow more in the journey than we do in the destination. The journey, I have come to love and embrace the journey of following and seeking Christ. Because God shows up in so many areas of my life that I would have missed if I'd have just walked past them. There's so many areas in my life that I had blinders on, that if I would have run through and I'd have got to the destination, I'd have missed these small areas in my life that God was trying to deal with me in and is dealing with me in if I'd have just got to the Super Bowl. But because I've begin to challenge myself to see God in the journey and begin to challenge myself to see God in the good and the bad and the pretty and the ugly, I've learned to look at this journey now that doesn't stop until we're in glory. And that scared me for a while. I'm going to be honest. It scared me bad because I know where I've come from. I know some of the things I've experienced, and I was like, God, how am I going to get through this? And one of the things that I'm on a journey of right now is weight loss. I started in December, and I was 420 pounds. I was an addict. I was addicted to food. I was addicted to the idea of it. The crazy thing about food is that you can get it 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and it's not illegal. You will not go to jail for it. They will not pull your car over and search your trunk for a Whataburger bag. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm very transparent. Y'all learned that through this process. I looked at that mountain, and I said, God, how in the world can I undo 39 years of wrong? He said, hand in hand with me, one step at a time. And I'm going to tell you what, it's been tough. It's been tough. It's been one of the hardest things I've ever done in my entire life. And I share that story not braggadociously. I share that story to show you something that may not be a big issue in your life was a mountain in mine. And it was destroying me, my family, my ministry, what God was calling me to do because that was one thing that I wanted to hold on to because it was something I was scared to overcome. And I remember December 26th, and I looked in the mirror and seen what I had created. Well, nobody else's fault but my own. And I did. I cried out to God, and I said, I have to have you in this. And I'm going to tell you what. I've failed along the way. I've made mistakes. But God's picked me back up, and I can tell you he's been with me step by step by step. I'm 82 pounds down today, guys. And it is because I have had to wake up and encounter God every single day in order to do this. And he had to change my mentality before he changed my physicality. See, I just wanted to obtain the goal. I just wanted to get there. I have learned more about myself, the love of my wife, the love of my family, the support of my friends. But I'm telling you, and it may not make sense to a lot of y'all, I have learned more about God in this process because this is something that I could do. I thought in my mind, where nobody else saw. And I had to get to a place where I had to surrender so I could get victory. Whatever your mountain is, whether it's a Whataburger bag, whatever it's a mindset, a state of mind, perception, whatever it is, you know and God knows. The same process that I'm in is available for each and every one of you tonight, and the same outcome is available for all who's willing to take one step and put it in one step, one foot in front of the other and walk this path. This one's 8 weeks. What I'm doing has to be a lifetime deal. But we talk about this 8-week process, but listen, guys, this 8-week process that we're going through is to change you for eternity. The 8-week process that we're talking, that you have the ability and the potential to encounter God, will change you and the people you come into contact with for eternity. And I'm going to show you that in the Bible here in just a second. See, the disciples began to see and understand their true identity in Christ progressively over time through encounters with God and his truth about who he is, who they were, and who he was calling them to be. God was calling me to be victorious over this area of my life. And listen, when I get done with this, guess what? It's going to be something else. There's going to be something else God calls me to be victorious over. But you know what? I know I can do it now. You want to know why? Not because I'm any better than anybody else. Because I've seen God in this. And if God can get me through what I've been through, he's pretty good at what he does. See, he didn't just show up on the disciples and get Peter and say, hey, let's go fishing, or let me get in your boat and let's go fishing, and then drag him back and say, here, go do this. No, it was a process. Go study Peter's life and Paul's life and disciple. And time after time again, they were wondering, how are we going to make it through this? And God would show up. And their faith got stronger and stronger through individual encounters with God. To the point where Jesus says, all right, now it's your turn. And Peter preached the sermon at Pentecost, and 3,000 come to know the Lord. Imagine if they'd have tossed him the microphone the day they took him off the boat. That's the power of process, and that's the power of the journey. And the last one is understanding. We need to ask and be able to answer, what have these encounters revealed to us about God and ourselves? And there's a story in the Bible that's not in your notes, but it's something that God has resonated with me. It's Luke 7, the 11th chapter, and it's where God healed the widower's son. Well, why do I bring that up? Because if you study the story, I'll give you a brief overview of it. The widower, so that means that she's already buried her husband. is burying her son, and this funeral procession is leaving this town. Jesus and the disciples are coming in, and they encounter Jesus. Jesus, number one, makes sure that he knows that the widower knows that he loves him. That's the reason why we're talking about God wanting to reveal himself to you. It's because you need to know that God loves you individually. They encounter Jesus. He walks through the crowd and he touches the coffin of this dead boy and he says, "Get up and speak." Single encounter. He says, "Get up and speak." Why do I bring that up? What did this encounter reveal to the widower, to the son, and to the grave? Number one, it revealed to the widower that Jesus sees and knows our needs, our hopes, our dreams, and he knows our burdens. You don't think that widower wasn't burdened? She done buried her husband. She's going to bury her son. Jesus saw a need in her. He knew what she was dealing with. He knew the hope that she needed. He knew the promise that she needed. Then to the son, Taya said this a while ago, and I want y'all to write this on your hearts, tattoo it on your hearts, write it in your books, do something. God started something in every one of y'all, and he's going to see it finished. God started something in that boy, and God wasn't done with him yet. And even death could not keep God's plan for this boy. Death couldn't break what God had for him. So what did it do to the grave? What did it reveal to the grave? It revealed to the grave that it has no power and authority over Jesus Christ. So whatever grave you're standing in tonight, it has no power and authority over Jesus Christ. None. See, that boy was in a coffin. He was dead. The world called him dead. Jesus called him alive with one single encounter. Whatever areas in your life that the world are telling you is dead, whatever areas in your life that you think are dead, whatever areas in your life that seems hopeless, whatever areas in your life that seem like there's no more purpose for you, God calls it different. Even the grave and death couldn't stop the calling that Jesus had on this boy. Apparently, he wasn't done with him. Apparently, he wasn't done with this widower. And then it says the word spread like wildfire in the surrounding areas of Judea. Here's the great thing about what we're doing. Is that when God does a work in you, you get the opportunity to tell somebody else. You get the opportunity to spread what God has done in your life. Through this class, God has changed my marriage. Through this class, God has convicted me of a mountain in my life through my weight. Through this class, God has taught me humility in a way that I can't even begin to explain to you. And he showed me a pride in my life that was going to be destructive to what he's calling me to do. I was standing in some shallow graves and God says, "I'm not done with you yet, Justin. I can sit here and tell you tonight that there's still some graves in my life and God is not done with me and I have been through this thing 6 times. If you're sitting in here tonight underneath my voice and you can hear me speak, God started something in you and he deems to see it finished through this process. He longs to reveal himself to you and all he asks you to do is surrender. That's it. He asked that we surrender and be willing to hear the call of the Lord. So the question is, who will you become after this encounter? Who will you become after this encounter? That's a question that I can't answer for you. That's a question you may not be able to answer right now. Who will you become after this encounter? I know who I want to become after this encounter. I want to be more like Jesus. That's what I want to be. I need that in my life. There are some things that I'm dealing and struggling with in my life. I'll just be honest with you. This class is for me. I need to know that God longs to reveal himself to me still. I need to know that God's not done with me yet. I need to know that there's still purpose for me. I need to know that the graves that I'm standing in don't have authority over my Father. And I want it as much for you as I want it for myself. Because I know the power that resides in a single encounter with God. He's had to touch my marriage. Me and my wife have been divorced. Yeah. And God restored it. This was one of the biggest things that made it stronger. You know what it took? God touching my marriage. You know what it took was God touching my wife. It took God touching me. And he even touched my family and her family and my children and restored it all back to what it was supposed to be. Just like Pastor Talia was talking about restoration. He's restoring my physicality to what it should have been the whole time. Yeah, I'm messed up. I got some things in my life that I need to deal with. And I tell you what, I'm excited that I get to do it with y'all. I'm excited that we get to do this together. Because I'm going to tell you one thing that's going to happen is we're going to turn into family when this is, the time this is over with. Y'all going to probably know way more about me than you want to, and that's okay. But the fact that God longs to reveal himself to me and to Pam and to Amber and to Jolene and to Corey, to Justin, to Steve, to Matt, to Brittany, that's powerful. Caleb, Ben, the fact that God still longs to reveal himself to me, just like he did the disciples, gives me hope, gives me purpose, and gives me the ability to take one more step. Gives me the ability to take one more step. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to ask my wife to come up, and she's going to share a few things with you. In your book, we didn't get to cover this tonight, there's three encounters, okay, in the Bible that I challenge you to go home and study these. There's an encounter in Exodus 3, 1 through 15 at the burning bush. There's one in Genesis 16, 7 through 14. And there's one in Acts 9, 1 through 19. Your table host will be in touch with you about that this week. Study these guys. See who encountered God in these and see what the results are. And I'd be willing to bet that through these, if you'll study them, you'll see yourself in some of these encounters. Gracious Father, God, I thank you for the opportunity, God, to come here tonight. And God, I thank you that you can use even someone like me, Father, to impact the kingdom. God, you can use someone like me, God, to carry out your work, to be the hands and feet. But God, I need you more now than I did yesterday. God, I need to encounter you more now than I ever have in my life. God, I desire to know you more. And I just pray, Father, that you do what only you can do in my life and every student's life, leader's life, pastor's life. God, I pray that your will be done in all that we seek. And God, that we may hear what you have us to hear, see what you have us to see, God, so we can do what you have us to do. And ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
All right, guys, in order to have that encounter, you got to know him. And so me and Justin are going to stay up here this evening Don't leave if you don't have that personal relationship with him. Come see us. We want to pray for you. We are excited about this 8 week. We know that we look around the room and I see the emotion in some of your faces. And I see the hunger in some of your faces. And I can honestly say, and your table host would agree, that we're just getting started. It just gets better from here. And we are so excited to have y'all here. Just a couple of announcements that I want to share with you. Your table hosts are going to be reaching out to you this week. They're not trying to sell you anything. They don't want you to buy anything. They just want to pray for you. They want to love on you. If you are in the middle of this week and something happens and you need prayer, text them. Or you want to celebrate something, text them. This is a new family and a relationship like Justin has been talking about. One of the things that we speak a lot of is the retreat at the end. And I want to go ahead and just tell y'all that the retreat is November 7th through the 9th. It's going to be in Crockett. You will get lots of information on it next week. We love this 8 week process, but it doesn't end at the end of that 8 weeks. It ends at that retreat together, and we want y'all to be a part of that. So go ahead and just know that it's November 7th through the 9th. All of the details will come next week, and you're going to start to hear some testimonies from people that you've seen around the church. Some you may not even know that went to the retreat and how their lives forever changed after that encounter with Christ. Anything else? All right. This week, do your homework. Look at those encounters. Thank y'all for coming. We can't wait to see y'all back next week.